You're very welcome to Liberty Church. You know, I feel a word for this, going into this season, just to release it into the body, release it into you. Bray is having their service now, our Liberty Bray, and in Clondalkin at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Liberty Clondalkin service this evening. Not just a service, that sounds a bit religious for me, but like with the gathering of people of God, wherever we are, he's there in the midst of us. Like, Jesus is present. Like, anything and everything can happen in one moment, one whisper of him in your ear, and boom, that's game over. That's like freedom and liberty, and we bless God for these moments, and we're praying for a release of more. Amen. That there's a great excitement in the house and in people's lives around what God is doing. But I don't know about you, but I have this insatiable hunger for God. That you know, 28 years, 29 years walking with the Lord, and you think it gets boring, you think, oh, you know what, I've seen that, done that, whatever. That's not Jesus. He gets greater and bigger and broader and deeper and longer the more you walk with him, and you think, oh, I've seen that, done that, did it. No, you've done nothing yet. You've only scratched just the tip of the iceberg is what we're seeing in them. And this year, I just really feel to release into the house that God has assignments for us, you know. Like, you know, this time every year, like, which even I've done one of them, like, setting some goals for this year, like, personally, like, you know, getting back to the gym tomorrow. Has anyone said that this year already? Asked me in 6 months' time, am I still going, by the way? And, you know, we've set goals for ourselves, and that's proper and right. And but also, like, so they're my goals, that's my agenda. But God also has an agenda. God also has assignments for your life and for my life and for us collectively this year, and collectively for the body of Christ across the world. That he has a plan, that it's not just, we're not just sitting waiting this thing out. We're not just sitting, it's not about, you know, forgive if this offends you, it's not about getting the hell out of here, but it's about getting hell out of here. Do you get me? Like, it's about like bringing kingdom so that the kingdom is advancing and the gates of hell are being pushed back. It's like we're not just here just to wait it out and just to walk along and to accept everything that life throws at us, and this year will want to throw at us. That's not life. You know, people that say, you know, oh, if it's meant for me, it won't pass me. Don't live like that. If it's meant for you, go and get it. Go and take a hold of it. If God has ordained it in your life, that we have to know that there's also an enemy to the plans of God in our lives. Like he said to Joshua, there's the promised land. Now go and take it. Now also in the promised land, there was giants and fortified cities and bad country and all types of things. But he says, it's yours. Now there's giants in there and there's opposition in there. But you go and take it because it's yours. And we can't live that. If it's meant for me, it won't pass me. No way. If it's meant for me, you're not passing me. You're coming into my life. I'm going to go after you. And God has assignments for us this year. He has an overall assignment. Listen to what Jesus says in the message of 17, John 17, 18. Jesus says this, he's speaking to the disciples, and he says, in the same way, no, he's speaking to his Father, he says, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, he says, I give them a mission in the world. Father, the same way you gave me an assignment in this world, I now give them an assignment in this world. What is Jesus' assignment? Jesus' assignment was to come into the world, and that to break the power of sin, to take the sins of the world upon itself. Jesus came to put death in its grave. Jesus came to take the keys of Hades and death. Jesus came to conquer. Jesus came to show who the Father was, who the Father is. Jesus came to say, I'm not just a God of words, but if you don't believe the words I say, look at the works I do. And all of this, and he says, Father, as you gave me that mission, now I give them that same mission. That our mission is the same as Jesus. It's to save the people and reach people with the gospel of Jesus, that people would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That's not just an evangelist goal. That's not just certain people's goal. That's the mission that Jesus has given us all. How do we do this? We operate under the same anointing that Jesus operated in. The same authority, the same Spirit of God, the same things that Jesus done. He says we can do. And so if we're not doing them, I don't think we to blame him. We to look and say, God, why am I not doing them? I want to do them. Who wants to do miracles? Who wants to see people reach? Who wants to hug a homeless man or an orphan person? Who wants to, like Jesus said, I do. Am I uncomfortable doing it? Yeah. Do I always do it? No. But there's a once. And I believe that God wants to give us individually this year assignments and collectively. Now, Rob is going to be speaking next week. And he's going to deliver his message that he's delivering this morning in Bray next week. And his message is about rest. And my message is about action. But the best place to have your action from is rest. Resting in the fact that we are loved. So my action is not about being loved by God. It's not about gaining God's love. It's about because I'm loved. And I can find rest in that. Find rest in the finished work at Calvary. That I don't have to add anything to gain my salvation. I don't have to do anything or add anything to get my sins forgiven. Jesus already paid for my sins. My sins are already forgiven. That's a rest. That I'm loved. That he thinks I'm lovely. That he likes me. That I'm accepted. I'm a man of purpose and significance. Not because of anything that I've done out of action, but because of who I believe in. I can sit into that. Paul the Apostle says that we are seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. We're seated in the finished work. Now, it's not like we're running, or it's not that we're striving. He says that we're seated in him. Just kick back. You already have all this now. Out of this knowledge, out of this authority, out of this understanding that I can move into action. And Rob will teach us all about rest next week. And hopefully we learn something about action this week. So this Christian walk with Jesus, it's not about being passive. It's about being restful and out of that, doing more. But he has an assignment for us. And with the Lord's assignment comes three things. Well, maybe more, but I have three things this morning. With his assignment comes his provision. With his assignment comes his plan of action. And with his assignment comes his power to carry out the assignment. I love the way the Lord does it. He gives us an assignment and gives us his power to actually fulfill the assignment. I'm like, hello, that's a win-win, isn't it? It's not like, look, I want you to win the World Series in about 2,000 years. Goodbye. I'm going up. I'm just going to sit somewhere. He says, no, Lord, I'll be with you. I will go there with you. Not only does he say, I will be with you, but the reality is when you become a believer, he comes and resides in us. If you are a Christian, born again of the Spirit of God, he lives in you. He lives in us. This incredible thing that God, a holy God, can come into a man that is sinful. That's a feat in itself. But God has a plan, and he has power, and he has provision for every single one of the plans and purposes that he has and assignments for you this year. I don't want this to get lost in the macro, in the big of the assignment. But there is the big assignment. It's to win the world. If you want to be on God's dream team, I'm one for giving out about certain things, but I've been reading books and I've been around church long enough, and people are being asked to join the dream team in the local church. And I understand what they mean by that, but I believe we're reducing God's people to thinking that God's dream is that my dream is to open doors to welcome people in. God's dream for my life is to open doors for people coming into church. And people do have to be welcomed into church and should be welcomed into church, but not by someone just on the door that's doing a job, but we should welcome each other as the people of God. So it's not, we're all the welcome team. But people are being told that this is the dream team. Join the dream team, which means really serve on a Sunday morning. We should serve on a Sunday morning because we're called to serve one another. Well, that's not God's dream team. How can that be God's dream team? Here's a cup of tea while the world is going to hell. Here's a cup of tea while orphans need to be fed and loved. God's dream team is those who he says, I want you to go into the world and preach the gospel and baptize in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to cast out devils, to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, to open blind eyes. That's his dream team. And you know what? When we read the scripture, we realize we're all invited. Jimmy's going to pop up a scripture there. I felt this was a bit of a lame title, so forgive me. You know I'm not good at titles, that's the word. Christians on assignment. Is that lame? Yeah, thanks. That's an honest wife. You're walking home. Listen to this scripture. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field." There's going to come a day when there's going to come a day when the workers are plenty. Amen. And the harvest is few. Amen. Because we've won. We've harvested the fields. And we just release, Lord, into our church and into this body and into this city, Lord. Lord, the day is when the harvest is few, Lord, because we've won the people. You've poured out your spirit, Lord God, and that the workers are plenty. Amen. And Jesus said, he says, "Go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone along the road," meaning don't dilly-dally on the way. "If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me." The 72 returned and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name, excuse me." Jesus says, "I've given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to these little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." Amen. After this time, Jesus appointed 72 others. After what time? After, like, he sent out the 12 first. He sent out 12 and he says, "Go and preach." He preached the good news to the poor. "Go and heal the sick and preach the kingdom." Preach the kingdom, heal the sick, and cast out the devil. That was the commandment that he gave them. After he sent them out, he now took more and he sent 72 out. So listen, it's not just about the 12. It's about the rest of us. Do you get me? If it was only about 12 disciples, 12 apostles being sent out, it would have said after the 12 disciples were sent out, there was no more sent out. But it says, no, there was more that was sent out. He sent the 12 out, and he says to another 72, "Now, do you see what they done? You seen what I done? You seen what they done in my name? Now you're going to go in my name and do the exact same." And he sent them out two by two. Why? Because two are better than one, amen? One falls down, the other can to help them. Don't be on your own. One is cold, the other can keep them warm. One gets attacked, the other can fend for them. One is discouraged, you can encourage. One says, "I don't want to go," you can say, "Come on, I'll go with you." He sends them out and he says, so he has a plan. He sends them out. He has a purpose. The assignment always has a plan. God doesn't do things willy-nilly. He has a plan. He sends them out. He says, "Go to the house." When you go to the house, if you find peace there, stay there. Meaning this, don't ram the gospel down someone's neck. Don't bully people into the kingdom. Don't harass people. He says, if they're receptive, you will know they're receptive and you will be able to deliver it with peace and they will be able to receive it with peace. He says that if they give you something to drink, his provision. Don't worry about your purse. Don't worry about your umbrella. Don't worry about what you leave. When you go, he says, "I'll provide for you." And he doesn't say if. He says, when they give you something to eat, sit down and have fellowship with. What a plan. Knocking at a door, entering into a relationship, a conversation, in work, in school, in the neighborhood, in the shops. You open up a way that is like, "Oh, you're a nice person. Yeah, you know, there's trouble in my family." You know, we were just giving out the hampers recently. And I'm so thrilled with the hampers. 1,225 hampers. Like, we feed a family of four for 5 days over the Christmas. 4 multiplied 1,225 is 5,000. Isn't that a cool number? And it's very much in the Bible, you know. And we're really delighted. But a woman from the head over an organization, which we were able to work with 30 different organizations in getting the field out to the people that really need it. And one of the organizations, the head of the organization, came to collect hampers with a van, with some people in the van. We gave them 70 hampers, and they were going out, and they worked with members of the traveling community, and we were able to give 70 hampers into this community. And then they went out, and the woman was standing talking to Sharon, and she says, "My husband Sean has been taken to the hospital," and she says, "Would you say a prayer for us?" Now, she means that in a real Irish way. You know, when you go to bed and your mammy used to say, "Now say your prayers, good night, God bless, see you in the morning, son, say your prayers when you go to bed." No, that's what she was thinking. And so I put my hand on her shoulder and just start calling out to the Lord for her. And just start calling out to heaven. And anyway, later on, she gave me 2 inboxes on Facebook. One first one was, "Not thanks for the 70 hampers. Thanks for praying for me. Thanks for stepping out. Thanks for believing." She didn't say all this, but this is what thanks for prayers means. "Thanks for stepping into the gap. Thanks for releasing hope that actually God is for us. God is on our soil." And why could I say that? Because I knew she was receiving my peace. I knew that when she said, I said, because if she didn't receive her peace, she would have gone, "You don't pray for me. Don't you put your hands on me. Don't invade my space." She could have said a million things. "I'm a professional woman. I run an organization. Don't you dare." No, she said, "Okay." And Jesus says, when you received, he says this in Luke, he says, "Ask them, is there anyone sick in the house? And if there's somebody sick, lay hands on them and see them healed," Jesus says. Listen to God's plan. Knock at the door. Enter into fellowship with somebody. Do you know what I mean? I don't mean you can knock at the door if you want. If you're received, give. If you're not received, use wisdom, step away. But if you're received and you're talking to someone and they tell you what's going on in their life, Jesus says, pray for them. So you sit down with a cup of coffee, you're received. And someone says, "Lord, my son is wayward." If you're talking, you're listening. "So can I ask my God to intervene?" Who's going to say no? Who's going to resist? And when God does it, you know what the person says? "My goodness, God is here. God is fine." God has a plan, and he has a purpose. God has a plan, and he has provision. He has a plan. He says, "Go out with my plan. This is what you have to do. Knock at doors, be received with peace. If you don't get peace, leave your peace, walk away. If someone's sick, lay hands, get them healed. If someone has a need, pray for them. I will meet the need." There's a plan for us. There's a strategy for any of us could follow tomorrow and work. And not only, and he says, don't worry about what you will need. He says, they will give you food if you need food. So he covered his provision and he covered his plan in a few sentences. But he says, who knows that if someone needs to be healed, we need power to see healing. If someone needs to deal with the kingdom of darkness, we need power to deal with the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says, sent them out. And this is the way they came back. They came back saying, "Jesus, this is amazing. Even devils, even demons submit to us in your name." Like they had seen the kingdom of God manifest. Like in their midst, Jesus said when in the same passage he says, "I've seen Satan fall like lightning." What's that all about? See, if you know your scriptures, I always thought that was about when Satan Lucifer got kicked out of heaven. But there's no reference to that there. There's no reference to Satan or Lucifer in heaven being an angel. There's no reference to it. So what the reference has to be that when they were out there preaching the kingdom, healing the sick, dealing with the devil, that Jesus says, when you were out there under my plan and my provision and my power, he says, "I've seen Satan fall. Strongholds collapsing. People that were in bondage to sickness, and you went in there with your peace," because you know peace is the peace of God is violent. It crushes the head of Satan. It's a contradiction in terms that peace and violence. Oh, we receive it as shalom. The enemy receives it as a beating. He receives it as being battered by God. He says, when you are out there, I've seen Satan, boom, falling like lightning hitting the ground. I've seen strongholds that were over families for generations. And you go in with peace. You go in with prayer. You go in with love in your heart. We have to understand what pulls things down. The opposite What I've seen this year with the hampers, you know, I believe that these are different hampers this year. We call them revival hampers. Every place that they were put in, who gets the opportunity to put 1,225 seeds into a family? Every place we believed for family salvations, household salvations for this year. Revival hampers. And people over years used to say to us, for years, he said to us at the beginning, you're giving that, like there was 15 tons of food given out this year. You're giving food to people and they don't even come to our church. Yeah. Because we're not just about getting these seeds filled. We're about changing the spiritual temperature of a whole city. And the way to do that, one of the ways to do that is that you sow in the opposite spirit of what's already there. So people in this world, whether we like it or not, I'm probably one of them, is that we love to take. The opposite of that is to give. See, God gave. God's a giver. We're no more like the Father than when we're given. He's a giver. And you see it, like you see, we used to have people, we have little systems and help to be people that are like our, like we used to have people line up this street for 500, 600 people outside that door queuing up for hampers. We never liked doing it that way, we want, and we changed it that we now deliver to their homes. But at that time, we had a reason for it, but at that time, we used to always try to beat those who would, like so, say I don't know Sharon, and I don't know her husband. And I don't know our four kids that like are like 20s, in their 20s. Six of them could queue outside that door and walk away with six hampers to one household, which means five other households haven't got one because the greedy family went and took them. So that used to happen, and we were like, how do we stop this? And then we stopped them. We used to give out tickets, and then they walked ways of getting more hampers, even with the tickets, someone out there forging little numbers or something like that. And it was always trying to be the greedy. But listen, the greedy will always be amongst us. And I used to say to the team, because it used to freak us out, and you have to find peace with things. And I used to say, you know when Jesus fed the 5,000? I bet you the greedy were there. Because human nature hasn't changed. Put that in your pocket for your sister, son. Next time Jesus feeds all these people, I'm bringing a haversack with me. I think Jesus was even saying, blessed are the greedy when they come near me. I used to think as well, what gave me peace? What might look like, what looks like greed to me might be survival to them. That gives me peace. I may have to feed my kids for 2 more weeks. And that's what we've seen. Takers, takers, takers. So I was on distribution, meaning myself, and who was on lifting the hampers out to the cars? Put your hand up. I tell you, that's working itself, isn't it? Or I tell you, delivering the hampers. Who delivered hampers? Please put up your hands. Delivering hampers is a job, fair play to us. I delivered 6 at the end of the day. These guys delivered 300s and 200s and 70 hampers and knocking at doors and ringing them to see where they in, the disappearance of hampers and all types of things. And I, on the way home, I says, I'll deal with the 6 that were there in a certain area because it was going that way. I get a phone call from Chris from church here. He says, no, there's any hampers left. I have a desperate family. And I said, Chris, there's nothing. I says, we've left the building. The building's locked up. And I have the last 6 and I'm going to deliver them. I says, just maybe someone is not in. I'll ring them because that's what we do. We knock at the door. If they're not in, we'll ring them. We'll try to get them. And if we have to go, we have to go at the end. The last is leave it to a neighbor. We leave it to a neighbor. I says, I'll ring them. And if somebody that doesn't want one is not in, which is unlikely because we're dealing with takers. So I ring them all and they're all in. They're all waiting on the hamper. And I'm like, sorry, Chris. Gets down to the last one, knocks at the door. The guy says, listen, Noel, I didn't know my wife already got one. Maybe some family is in need that could be. And you might see, wow, that man's really good. I see the switch of takers becoming givers. I see the spark in the spiritual atmosphere that, like, no,
They're looking after one another. They want to help other people. That greed is turning to generosity in all of this. And when I rang Chris, he was leaping up and down. I said, Chris, tell that family God loves them. Because he had to change the heart of a taker to make them a giver to get that into their family. And that's what Jesus was saying. Jesus, like, this is how you win. This is how you go about this. That you operate in the office of spirit. And what happens is strongholds come tumbling down. Satan hits the ground like lightning. He says to them also, he says, don't rejoice that demons submit to you. No, it's up there. Don't rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, there's another little conundrum, because I used to always think that must be about the Lamb's Book of Life. That when you become a believer, whether you know it or not, your name gets written into a book. The Lamb's Book of Life. You're not a number. This is not just about church growth. Getting numbers in church. It's about names in a book. Amen. It's about names in a book. You're more than a number. You're a name. And it's written there. When you get there, there used to be a play called Heaven's Gates, Hell's Flames. Anyone see it? Whoa. It's a reality check. A play all about people, and like, so there's a family, and the daughter is a believer, and the mom and dad is atheists and ridiculing Jesus, and they're in a car crash. This is in the play, and it's in the car crash, and they all die. Three in the car, non-believers, and one a believer. The lights go on, brilliant white lights against like metallic material. And all the angels are standing there on the stage. I know all of this because I helped coordinate it back in the day when it was in St. Mark's. And they're all standing there. And the little girl comes up. She goes, the angel's at a big desk. The angel says, what's your name? She tells us her name. Is my name in the Lamb's Book of Life? The angel, big pages. Your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Jesus walks out of the door. Is it like that, Trump? He welcomes the girl in. The dad comes up. My name. What's your name? That's it. No. Did it check again? Another room. Saint comes. Dragon. I tell you, the sound effects that you had echoes in your man's reverb on his mic that was on it. He's getting his legs. And the screams out. No! It's real. The mission of Jesus is to populate heaven. Plunder, hell. What name, what book is your name going to be in? How do I get it in, though? I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. As I'm giving my heart to Jesus, my name's getting written in. Nullig O'Cunnig, and I'm going to get my full Irish name in. When the roll is called out yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there. Why? Because I put my faith in what Jesus has done. Jesus says, don't rejoice. So I used to think it was all about the Lamb's Book of Life. But he says, don't rejoice because the angels or the demons submit you. Rejoice because your name, they know your name in heaven. Meaning this, that like when they walked into those places, they walked in authority of heaven. And when they went into those places and prayed with people, that their name was recognized by devils and demons and strongholds and keepers that had to come down. Because they said in Acts, when they tried to cast out demons, the seven sons of Sceva, they said this, he said the person that had a demon battered the seven of them. Because the demon in him says, listen, I know Paul, I know him, I know Jesus, for who in the world are you?
Who do you think you are telling me to get out of him? You have no authority over me. But Jesus says to them, you go out in my name and you will cast in my name, and that your name will be recognized in heaven. That when you walk into a place, listen, this is what we carry when we walk in. Darkness should tremble. Not that I'm going in to play around with the darkness. When I play with darkness, I have no authority in darkness. But as soon as I step into the light, you go, he's back. He's back. Something happens. I'm only this side on the outside. But listen, you don't know how big I am on the inside. When I'm over in darkness, I'm that size. But when I step into light, I'm in him. I walk through him, by him, for him, all things to him. And Jesus says, rejoice in these things, that they know your name. That means when you pray, you're not just some Yahoo praying, but someone who is in Christ. Your prayers are powerful. Now imagine, with all of this, God has a plan. He has provision for his assignments, and he's given us power to carry it. Now, what would your assignment look like this year? I want you to take this month of January and ask Jesus, what's my assignment? An assignment could be a prayer assignment. I believe there's a couple here that go around the world praying in different nations. Is that right? What's your name? Una and... So Una and John are on a prayer assignment from God. Being sent around the world to land in different places. Jesus sent them out. See this? It was Jesus' plan. It was Jesus' provision. It was Jesus' power. He sent them out to do this. Not like, I have a great idea. Come on, we'll go down and pray somewhere. You could end up going somewhere of your own volition and getting battered, because you haven't got the authority for that assignment, because you weren't sent on the assignment. But if you're sent under the name of Jesus, and he sends you on the assignment, you're going to have results. Satan's going to hit the deck. Provision is going to be provided. And power is going to be operated in. So what could it be? Does this not excite you? I'm like, wow, Jesus, give me an assignment. A prayer assignment. A new ministry assignment. A prayer walk assignment. A Bible study assignment, a workplace prayer assignment. It can be a number of things. A mission assignment, a marriage assignment. Who wants a marriage assignment? Oh, the single ladies. Oh, the single ladies. Can I have a marriage assignment? No. Could be something in your marriage. Jesus says, go after that. Here's an assignment. This assignment is as big as any other assignment. This assignment will have as much challenges as any other challenge. Assignment. This challenge, this assignment will have power release, provision release, plans release, the strategy of God to bring down things. Look at it in Jericho. The power, provision, and a plan of God went for the walls of Jericho to come down. The next city was Ai. It wasn't the same plan. Because what we do with plans is we write books and says everyone should do it this way. And God is like, no, that was your assignment. That was the plan for that situation. Not copy of John Joe or wherever. It could be a new song assignment. Assignment, Simon, Naomi, worship team. One song can bring down a house. One song can bring down a stronghold. One sentence of a song. Maybe it's another album, Marie. Maybe it's an assignment of a heart issue, forgiveness issue. God says, I want you, this is your assignment. Rid your heart of unforgiveness. How do I do it, Lord? I have a plan. And no one ever got a plan. I'll give you the power. And maybe it's a college assignment, a career assignment, an evangelistic assignment. These assignments are powerful. Brilliant. Do you remember, if you don't know, last year, there was a building down in Greystones that was being sold called Carrigan. And it was being sold on the market, which it was a Christian ministry for like 80 years. I went to Bible college there. Jimmy, he had some taught me the Bible college there. Marie had the house for all nations there.
Like anyone else, Carrigeen, just any connection. Heather ran the place. Heather and Ken was the overseers of the whole building. People went to retreats there, kids camps there, youth camps there, marriage retreats there. It's like this is for 70, 80 years. And then it was being sold. And not only that, but there was like up to 50 people living in it that were a lot of them were from like Tig Lynn and Teen Challenge like type of environment that were now on the road to recovery on the other end, coming to live in, phase four, going back into society. And it was a safe haven, a loving place. People that were living there were in ministry and were giving off themselves in ministry to the city. It's a fantastic place, but it was getting sold. And back in the day, just last year or something like that, and everyone was ringing me up saying, how could anyone put 50 people out on the street and all this? And the organization that owned it, I was no longer involved with them anymore, but people didn't know this. And I'm like, look, leave it with me. I'll have a conversation and we'll see what will happen. And I went and had a conversation with the leaders of the organization that owned it. And they says, okay, no, we'll give you 6 months to raise $1.7 million to buy the building. The night before that was Good Friday. The night before that, the Lord spoke to me and says, perhaps I want you involved in saving Carrigeen for Christian purposes. That was my assignment. So I went, I done what was natural. I went to the leadership. See, because in life and ministry and problems, I've learned you don't speak down, you always speak up. Don't speak down to people that can't do anything about it. Don't speak across to people that can't do anything about it. Speak up to the people that can do something about the situation. And anyway, so I went to leadership and they says, come up with 1.7 million within 6 months and it's yours. Now, I never talked about buying it. I never talked about raising money. I just went and says that God wants this kept in Christian ministry. And they says, okay, you keep in Christian ministry. And I said, okay, so we started a foundation to try, if the Lord wanted us to have it, that it wasn't part of the assignment, it wasn't what God told me in the assignment, but if this is the natural following of the assignment, we go with it. So we went with it, and we started a foundation, we gathered some support, and in the end, we realized that God, the money wasn't going to come through us. But maybe we were left in the situation for the door to be left open for some other Christian organization to buy it. So we were always quite comfortable with that, because you always have to find peace with things you don't understand. And I says, okay, Lord, well, maybe my role, because the favor I had with these people, was just to keep the door open. So I was happy with that. And if some other organization comes in and gets it, fine enough. So I had myself out of picture. So then it came out, the hills and reels of the jigs and reels of it. There was murder about this. It was in newspapers and social media and it was all over the place. This was causing the body of Christ a lot of pain in the nation. And I knew we were the door openers. That's all I felt was our purpose in it in the end. Because I went over what God said over and over, over. Perhaps I want you involved in saving Carrigeen for Christian purposes. Over and over. No other thing was said by God. So anyway, it turned out that a Christian organization came in to buy it, and they couldn't get the money in time, and then a developer came in and was buying it for $3 million. So now it wasn't going to a Christian ministry, it was going to a developer. And we were all devastated. And I was out of the picture. One night I had a dream. And in the dream, I was in Carrigeen. And I'm familiar with Carrigeen. I spent years there. Up in the old classroom, walked in the dream, which what I thought was a dream. I walked in and there was all these draped curtains and an old leather chair with wings on it and leather buttons. You know them chairs, Chesterfield chairs, I think they're called. This was a smoking chair. And I look around, saw the side of it, and there's someone sitting in there smoking a pipe. And I looks around the corner, and it was this man called Basil Rathbone. And if anyone, if you're familiar with who he is, these are my favorite movies, the old Sherlock Holmes movies. And the English actor that played him in the 40s was Basil Rathbone. And I look around the corner and I go, Basil? Like, as you would, you know? And he has his pipe in his mouth and he just shakes his head. And I said, Basil, is there no way that this building can be saved for Christian purposes? And he shouldn't say that. So I, in the dream, I walked out of the room, was back in a nanny set. And I go, well, Basil, is there any news? And he said, it's been decided this building will not be saved. It will be saved. And I jumped around because I promised the Lord that I will
celebrate this building, no matter who gets it. I will celebrate it like we got it. And I'm jumping around, and I'm ringing people on the phone, and none of them could answer because it was now 20 to 1 in the morning or something. And I turned around to celebrate with Sharon, and when I turned around, I was in bed. I'm like, in bed? No. This is my exact reaction. No way. No. I'm looking at my wardrobe. No. No. No way was that a dream. I couldn't accept it was a dream. I was like, I had to accept it because I had no other grid to put it on. And I shared with some people what the dream was. And Sean actually was a tremendous help in interpreting some of the dream for me and all that stuff. So anyway, I knew it was an assignment. I was saying it was a dream. I was ringing around the people involved in Teen Challenge. I was like, look, I had a dream. It was more than a dream. I'm telling you, I was in the bed, but I was in Carrigeden that night. I was in the bed. This physical, intimate a part of Noel was in that bed, but I was in Carrigeden. I'm like, no, no, no way could I accept that God had brought me out on an assignment. I didn't have all this language for it at that time, but I was like, no. So I says to the Lord, okay, Lord, you have it. You gave me something. What am I to do? And I felt the wisdom from the Holy Spirit was to go out to Carrigeden and stand in Carrigeden and say this. Earth agrees with what heaven has decided over this building. Earth and heaven in agreement. So anyway, Tom Barrett was getting baptized the following few days or week, and we were invited out to baptize him. Thomas from our church in Graham, we're going out to baptize him. And we're in the grounds of Carrigeden, and I told 10 of them in my dream. And I says, now what we're going to do before the baptism. And we just declare that. Earth agrees with heaven. It's been decided. This will not. Now listen, 3 million. 3 million was accepted. It was a done deal in the natural. But heaven had a decision of. And we stood there and we done the prayer and we went down, we baptized Tom. A day later or 2 days later, they were on the way to Kilkee down to Summerfair. I get a phone call from Tom. Noel, your dream. What's he on about? Your dream? What? Your dream that you told me at the baptism, you told us. I said, what? He says, listen, the organization has agreed to sell it to Teen Challenge. It's not going to the developers. I'm in the car. No. No! My no went to, wow! Basil. No! Listen, I've gone on longer than I intended this morning. God will fulfill his assignment. I couldn't believe it. Now listen, people give money. People pray. The story belongs to thousands. I met a woman in Greystones after it was all done, and she was just coming out with the old lady where I told her, she goes, Noel, I prayed every day for her. It's not in my story, it's our story. People that stood, the people that signed contracts, the people that fought for it. It's not just one person's story. For here's the beauty of God. He brought me into the assignment at the beginning. Perhaps I want you involved. And the graciousness of God, he allowed me to be involved. Not with 2 million or 3 million euro. With one prayer. And I've no doubt in the big picture that God will show us there was, you were a piece of the puzzle there. He was a piece of the puzzle there. We stand. Would you accept this day your assignment from God? Whatever it may be. Do you know what the beauty is? God doesn't tell me how it was going to end. He just says we'll be obedient and stepping in at the beginning. He doesn't tell us how it was. In fact, most times if he tells us the end, we won't even go on the journey. But all he's asking for, do you know why those men see Satan fall like lightning? They step down.
They were obedient. They believed. They stepped out in faith and said, look, Jesus sent us. He says, this is what we're going to see. I'm going to step out. Whatever it is, the job assignment, the prayer assignment, the Bible study assignment. Do you know he gives us Bible study assignments? I want you to study David. I want you to study me. I want you. Because he wants to download his plan through his word. I've done it before, I'll do it again. The prophecy of yesterday is that God will do it again and again into tomorrow. Will you accept your assignment? Would you put out your hand? This, you're accepting by doing this, by the way. So the excitement is, if you don't know, is God letting you know. How will I know? You'll know. And he will give you the plan. Make sure you have enough provision. And he'll provide it for power. Even if he has to take you out of the spirit of faith, another nation, someone may have another nation beside it. I talked to people during the Christmas, and three different people told me they've been praying and praying for Conor McGregor. And God has given them a Conor McGregor song. So God might give you a name. A person that lives next to you, someone that lives in Hollywood. Might give you a name of a leader of a nation, of an organization. Might give you the name of the little kid across the road that you always see with a sad face. Accept your assignment, Lord. Here's what Isaiah said. He hears the courts of heaven talking, the Trinity saying, who will we send? Who will go to the nation? He will declare my word. He will stand in the gap. I will. Here I am. Send me. God says, I can give that person a job. I can give them an assignment. They're enthusiastic. They want what we want. They're willing. Yeah, let's assign them. There you go, Isaiah. 12 apostles. Yeah, we'll go out. You go on out. The others like, what about us, Lord? Come on, it's for everybody this. It's 77. So Lord, we stand here at the beginning of 2018. Well, honestly, I have an excitement in my heart. I keep wanting to laugh out loud. But I'm like, who in the world knows where this could end for you and me? But our first step is to say, Lord, we accept your assignments this year. We know they're going to be good because they're from you. We know, Lord, what comes with your assignment is your plan and your provision and your power, your presence, your protection. Therefore, Lord, I can accept it. And nothing will be too small and nothing will be too big because I won't measure in that way, Lord. It will be just measured in obedience and faith. So we accept it. And I pray this year, Lord, we will see household salvation. That we will see more miracles, more signs, more wonders, Lord, more healings of God, more deliverance, Lord God, more love being poured out into us for the city, Lord God. Ideas, strategy, plans, Lord God, new businesses being birthed, Lord. New ideas, Lord, new careers, pathways opening up, Lord God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that there would be a rising up into who we are in Christ Jesus, Lord, that we would walk. In fact, I send us out of this place in the name of Jesus Christ to preach the kingdom, to heal the sick, to cast down the devil. In the name of Jesus, for his glory and his honor, I send us out to love the poor, to honor those in authority. I send us out to pray. I send us out this week. My assignment for you as leader of this church, I send you out into the next couple of weeks to seek God for the assignment. Amen? To seek him for the assignment. And here's a little tip. When you have it, tell one person that you trust that will stand with you. He sent them out two by twos. Will you keep me accountable? Will you pray for me? Will you stand with me? I'm believing that this is an assignment for God. From God. For God. Would you put your hand on the shoulder of someone? Just pray God's blessing on your priests. Prayers that build up, strengthen and edify. going into this year. Yeah, bless, Lord. Bless their ears to hear, eyes to see, minds to perceive, hearts to receive the very call of God, the assignments of God, the disturbances of God in the night where He just interrupts us with something beautiful. Hey, I want you to pray for this. Hey, Lord, dreams and visions and prophecies, oh God. Father God, that there'll be a richness about this group of people, oh God. Our friends, Lord, on our world prayer assignment, oh God. On our friends, Lord God, from the Netherlands, oh God. We pray your blessing, Lord, over Holland, oh God, and the people, oh God. Now, Father God, even as we pray, Lord, that, Lord, people all over Holland will be hearing assignments from God, Father, for our cities and towns and villages, Lord, and Father, for Europe, Lord God. Father, that as we pray for us, Lord, that they will hear, Lord, what you want to say for them as well, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we bless you. We bless one another for your glory, Lord. Amen. Amen.